Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
What are you saying, God? If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10. I'll be there in just a second. But you and I, we are created to hear the voice of God, because God desires to communicate with us. And you may not realize that, but God likes to talk to you. He likes to have conversations. And I don't know how you talk to God. I talk to God just like I talk to you. I don't use any of these, the hells, or all these kind of things. It's very religious. God knows what level I'm on. He knows what level you're on. He speaks any language. He has his own language, too, that you need. That's why you need the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. But God desires to communicate with us. How in the world could he reveal the things he has for you unless he tells you that? If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. It says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice." It didn't say all the sheep, it said the sheep hear his voice. "And he calls each his own sheep by name." And God knows who you are. You may change your name, but God still knows who you are. "And God leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him. And they know his voice." There's three important, really important things here I think we need to see. In fact, my Bible, I have them circled. And one is, we hear his voice. Then, that we follow him. And thirdly, that we follow him. Here's the reason we follow him: because we know him. I hear many Christians say this, I just can't hear God's voice. Pastor, would you pray for me and see what God tells you about my situation? God's not going to tell me oftentimes. He'll give me a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophetic word. But, quit saying you can't hear God's voice. When we say this, I just can't hear from God, it becomes a part of your belief system. You believe that you can't hear from God. You can reprogram your belief system. See, you must begin to start believing that you can hear from God. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to realize this. I want you to begin to say this: I can hear the voice of God. I am his sheep. I am created to hear God's voice, and I can and I will hear God's voice. Faith is what produces the promises of God. Amen? It takes faith to produce the promises of God in our life. And faith is produced by hearing the voice of God. I say this from time to time. I love to preach on faith because faith has always been a very important part of our life. And everything that we have that's good, and we got a lot of good stuff, good things happen in our lives. We're so blessed with good health, blessed with material things, blessed with good church family. We're so blessed. But it all came by believing God for something. Faith produces what God promises. It takes faith to do that. But faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Romans 8:13. Faith comes by hearing, or 8:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the voice of God. See, your Bible is not just an ordinary book. Timothy says it's inspired by God. Every word there in that Bible that you call your Bible is inspired by God. And as you read that Bible, don't read it as a book. Read it as your conversation with God, that God is speaking to you. God speaks to you through your Bible. God speaks to you through the preached word. That's why it's so important that we're hooked up and connected to a house of God on a regular basis. Because, any particular Sunday, God may have a word for you. Now, I know God set several women free today of something in their past, and I don't know what it is. I don't really need to know what it is. But God knew, and what if they didn't show up today? What if they show up next week and they missed that word? See, they'd still be dragging you know, all things possible, God, they still be dragging that weight behind them. So it's important that we stay connected to the house and be in the house. It's so important that we read the Word. Not only read the Word, but meditate on the Word, because the Word will speak back to you when you begin to meditate on it. And also, you know, God wants you to, desires to speak to you. And He'll speak to you. He'll give you, if you just listen to God, God desires to direct you. Bible says in Proverbs, the steps of a righteous men are ordered by God. How in the world would you know where to go if God didn't tell you where to step? God said, I know the plans for you. One translation says the thoughts. You know, how in the world would you know what God has for you if God didn't communicate to you? You're not saying that God's going to friend you on Facebook, or God's going to send you an email or send you a text for what He has for you, but you know, God desires to speak to you. And you should desire to hear His voice. You know, I think it's possible, because I've experienced it, to hear the audible voice of God. Now, if you were right with me when I heard that voice, you might not have heard it. But there's times I knew I heard the voice of God. You know, many times in the Bible, even in the New Testament, because Jesus was there, but they heard the voice of God. Even when Jesus had died and was resurrected and went back to heaven, you know, Paul heard the voice of God. But Adam, he heard the voice of God. He walked and talked with God on a daily basis, him and Eve. Samuel the prophet, remember, he heard a voice with his audible ear. Elijah heard a voice. Many, many people in the old covenant heard audibly the voice of God. I remember the first time I heard the voice of God. It wasn't a thought. I was driving a ranch pickup. I was working on a ranch. I just got saved about 2 weeks ago, and 3 weeks before that, I didn't know if God existed. I didn't know if there was God. I sure didn't know God talked. And I'm riding along there, and I'm thinking. You know, God loves to entertain our thoughts. So you'll be careful what you're thinking. And so I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about my friend Dub. And me and Dub used to party all the time, drink beer and run together and do things we ought not be doing. And I had this thought, you know, you need to go talk to Dub about Jesus. I thought it. And I mean, I heard this voice. In fact, I turned in my pickup and see, I didn't know anybody was with me. And my second thought was, when I thought about going and talking to him, I thought, well, he can't change. I heard this really loud voice said, did you think I could change you? I said, no, sir, I didn't. He said, I can change him. I heard it very, very clearly. So it gave me the courage to go over and talk to him. Another time, we had back in the late 70s before our girls were born, we had a cowboy Bible study in our home. Pastor Eddie Morris was part of that group. He's one of the founders of it. And we had this Bible study going, and I was teaching was it Monday night or Friday night? Monday night. And we had, you know, from anywhere from 10 to 25 college kids in our house. And, you know, we didn't have a programmed Bible study. We just taught we heard God say to teach. And I was going to teach on healing one night. And I'm driving down south of Canyon there, and I hear that I'm kind of wrestling with God about it. And I heard very clear, just like God was sitting in the front seat, He said, if you will declare my word, I will perform it. And that's been a part of my life ever since. We began to see people get healed in our Bible study. We even saw horses get healed in our Bible study. We saw miracles. You know, nearly every time I'm around Eddie refers back to the revival that we were in during that Bible study. God did miracles. Many, many times, well, not many, many times, I'd be lying if I said many, many times, but I'm going to say probably at least maybe 8 to 10 times I feel like I heard, or I know that I heard the voice of God. God woke me up one night and said, tell the men to get tough. I said, that's not God. I went back to sleep. And I heard it again, just like somebody standing on my bed. Tell the men to get tough. I said, That can't be God. But I was awake by then, so I got up. And it's ironic, many times God speaks to me either audibly or inwardly at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I get up, and God said, this can't be God. And God said, write these words down. Write this down. He says, write down tough, get tough. Write down the word tough. Wrote it down. He said, T, transforming. O, ourself. U, under. G, God's. H, hand. Tell the men to get transformed. Amen? Another time I was at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, actually, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. I heard God. I just had this stirring. I didn't hear God's voice. I just had this stirring to get up. And so I got up and went into my living room and sat down. And I knew that God, I had this knowing that God was speaking to me. And I heard God say this: I'm going to send you to South Africa, England, and India. And I said, this can't be God. Or God would have said Brazil, Australia, Mexico. You know, I like Mexican food. I like Latin Americans. I like the cowboy culture in there in all three of those countries. And I said, this can't be God. And you know, when I thought it, here's what God said. I mean, just clear as I can be. He said, I'll confirm it immediately. I'll confirm it immediately. And so I had my attention, so I wrote down my Bible. It's probably this Bible right here. And so the next day, you know, I don't want to go through the story there, but God confirmed it. I got a phone call from Brother Kenny in South Africa. I didn't know anybody in South Africa. Invite me to come to South Africa in Mozambique because I heard the voice of God. Now, how in the world would God get me to South Africa? Because I didn't want to go. I had no desire. My wife would tell you, I had no desire. I'd rather go to Happy Texas than spend a week in Africa for 2 days. That's too far. A lot of other reasons. I don't like monkey brains. Amen. Amen. All right. So, you know, God can speak audibly to you. Now, I know there's some of you, you've heard the audible voice of God. But, you know, most of the time, just to be honest with you, most of the time God will speak to us inwardly. You hear this inward voice. Well, how's that? Well, where's the Holy Spirit live? Inside you. Inside you. You know, I believe, you know, God knows our thoughts. God has thoughts. I love Psalm 139:7 or 139:17 says this, that his thoughts towards us, towards you and me, are more numerous than the grains of sand. Can you imagine, if you just get a handful of sand, can you imagine how many grains of sand that you have? Miss Lou Ann fell in a sand trap in Florida. And she got out of that sand trap, and she for 5 minutes, she dusted sand off. We couldn't even count that number of sand. I can't imagine counting the number of grains in my hand, much less on this planet. I've been to the beaches. You have, too. There's a lot of sand. And God says, my thoughts are more than that about you. Not about this world, but about you. And, you know, God wants us to know what his thoughts are. Did you know, when I preach, I always say, God, let your thoughts become my words. That's a daily prayer for me when I'm preaching. I want what's coming out of my mouth be a thought from God. Because my words, they have nothing. But God's word brings life. Amen? So God can speak to us inwardly. You know, when we listen to these thoughts, God begins to reveal his plans to us. Amen? All right, we're going to speed up a little bit. I'm going to try to preach fast, so hang on fast. All right? Take a deep seat. John 6:63, you don't have to turn there. Jesus said this, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. Well, you know, things of spirit cannot be seen. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. You can't see words. You can't see words. But, you know, if you could see words or hear with your natural ear, I mean, you talk about utter confusion, and that's not talking about a calf and a cow. utter confusion. You know, you couldn't separate them. Because, I mean, right here in this sanctuary right now, I mean, there are trillions of words passing by. And you can't hear them. You can hear my word or hear your neighbor or somebody else. And it's not just these words right here. I mean, there's TV waves going. There's radios. There's internets. There's computers all around the world that's in these airways. You can't see them. But they're there. And, you know, in that very mix of words that's around us, God is speaking to you and me. God's speaking to you and me. You know, I preach in Uganda from time to time, and I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning there, and we do it through the deal on my computer called Skype. And it's an amazing tool. You know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can be in my office and be on stage in Arena of Life Church, Kampala, Uganda. Isn't that amazing? And you know, yesterday we had a little trouble with time delay on our Facebook Live. But, you know, on Skype, there's no time delay. First thing I say is, I says, good morning, church. And I hear it from the congregation. I hear them. They say, good morning, pastor. Immediately, I don't have to wait 5 minutes delay. Now, I'm tell you what, my mind can't process that. Because I know it's like 16,000 miles away. How in the world can I say good morning and they hear it just like you hear it right now? Isn't that amazing? So words are spirit, and they are life. And that life is what gives a manifestation to those words. You know, we can make a connection to God. You know what that connection is? You know, when I'm Skyping, you know, oftentimes I have a hard time making connection. You know, we get up, Miss Lou Ann's done it. You know, you get up there, and where we are, we don't have very good internet connection. Sometimes in Uganda, they don't have very good internet connection. And sometimes our signal gets interrupted by something. But there's always something trying to interrupt God's signal to you, too. So, you know, what I do, I turn on my computer, and I hit my little Skype button, and it'll have a list of my contacts there that I Skype with. I've Skyped in Pakistan before several times and different places. And so I hit Skype, it rings the computer in Kampala, and Pastor Henry answers it. And then all of a sudden on my computer screen, I don't see what's usually on there, my screensaver. I begin to see church. I begin to see the people sitting in chairs. I begin to see praisers on the stage there. I begin to hear sounds because we made a connection. Come on. See, you and I, we have the same connection. It's not a button, but it's called the Holy Spirit. He's what connects us. He's what connects us. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:17, you don't need to turn there, but it says this, that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you're joined to the Lord, you're one spirit with him. You know what the word join mean? It means to be adhered to. It means to be like glued to, stuck to. I mean, it's the most intimate thing that can happen between two entities. If you're connected to God, you're one spirit with him. And if you're one spirit with God, you can hear the voice of God. It's when we're not connected. In John 16, you know, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit coming. And many things he talks about, he said, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, one thing he's going to do, he's going to convict you. Well, we don't like the word convict. But thank God we have conviction. You may not like it, but I love it. I hate it. I have a love-hate relationship. Because when I get convicted, I know I did something wrong. But I thank God that he loves me enough, he loves you enough, that when you do something wrong, God says, you stepped out of bounds. You compromised my word. You sinned against me. The good news is all you got to do is say, God, forgive me. Repent and go on. But not only once he comes to convict you, he says to guide you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm lost as a goose in a snowstorm about life. I need some guidance. I need some direction, especially about church. A lot of times we need direction for church, and we can't do it off our knowledge and wisdom. We got to hear God's voice and follow God's voice. He guides us. Another thing he says, and he will tell you what the Father has to say. I mean, isn't that cool? See, God uses the Holy Spirit because they're one. And he'll tell you what the Father has to say. And I love this part. He will tell you of things to come. You know, we don't worry too much about our past. Most of the time we worry about tomorrow's, don't we? We worry about what the cattle market's going to do, when it's going to rain, wonder what's going to happen, when we're going to get a bad report. You know, God says he will tell you of things to come. God has a prophetic voice because he knows your tomorrow. He knows next year, next week, next 40 years, whatever. God knows it all. And God wants to reveal it to you because he wants to guide you around some storms. I mean, how in the world would a pilot fly an airplane flying to South Africa and there's a big storm in between? How in the world would he know how to get around it if someone didn't call him on the radio and say, hey, you're fixed to hit a storm up there. You need to go around it. You know, things happen bad, but many times God wants to direct you around those things that are bad. Amen? So it's so important, so vital that we hear the voice of God. You know, we all have TVs, probably have too many of them, and my TV is not always silent. Should be. But, you know, my TV right now is turned off. We got three in the house. All three of them are turned off. But, you know, a very strong signal has come to those TV sets. And in order for me to hear it, I must turn it on. I can sit there in front of my TV. I'm going to go home. I record the Masters today. I'm going to go home and watch the Masters. And I can sit there in my chair and think, man, I wish this thing, come on, I wonder what's happening. You know, I'm not going to hear nothing until I hit that remote control. And I'll be able to hear. Same thing with God. You know, even though, you know, I don't watch a lot of local TV. Shamefully, I watch too much Fox News, too many sports channels and stuff like that. But, you know, if I'm watching, say, Fox News, and there's a tornado 2 miles from my house, and the only way I can know about it is turn my TV on. That thing's going to hit my house. No, it's not. In Jesus' name. But I'm not going to know about it. You know, so how can God warn you about something or get something to you if you're not connected to him? You know, that's why, you know, the only thing that separates you and I from God is sin, so we need to stay in right stand with God so we can always hear God's voice. Because God may want to communicate something to you. It's very important to stay connected to God. You know, 24/7 God is live. God's live. You may be asleep, but it don't matter if it's Labor Day or 4th of July. God's still alive if you'll just connect to him. Amen? All right. Moving right along. When we are wanting to hear from God, how many want to hear from God? We must be willing to listen. You know, I think there's too many Christians, we want to hear God's voice, but we've already had our mind made up what we want to hear. We want to hear God. You know, we'll pray about things. We know to pray, but, you know, we got the answer. So we waste our time, God's time, because, you know, if I'm praying, you know, God, do you want me to move to South Africa? And, God wants me to, but I'm going to wait till I hear God say no. I've done stuff like that. I wore God out on this about going back to Africa. I've asked him so many times. And, in fact, I shared this a couple weeks ago, but I'm praying. I mean, God's confirmed it. I mean, if you can't know that God confirmed it, you're blind, deaf, and dumb, and something else. God's just confirmed to me so many times that go back to Uganda. And so a couple Sunday mornings ago, I'm praying. I say, God, I know I'm wearing you out on this, but do you want me to go to Africa? You got to confirm it one more time. Sunday morning for church. Pastor Henry never calls me on Sunday morning because he knows I'm getting ready to preach. He never has called me. And I might get home from church, he send me a WhatsApp message or text message. He don't call because it costs a lot of money to call. I'm sitting there preparing my message that Sunday morning, and Pastor Henry calls. He says, Pastor Ty, said, the church is so good this morning. He said, the people asked me, when are you coming back to Uganda? I said, God, that's enough. That's enough. I know what you want. You're saying that now. And every time I've been saying it, when I pray about it, I say, I'm wanting to hear no. Send Pastor Travis. Send Pastor Robert. Send somebody else. Maybe somebody else like monkey brains. But we have these, we preset mindsets what we want to hear. God, you want me to date her? We want to, and God says, no. God, do you want me? Just keep asking. See, sometimes we just wear God out. We keep asking until he just finally quits speaking to us because we don't listen to what he's saying. We gotta do what God says. You know, sometimes we'll ask for something, you know, God, you want me to start tithing? I didn't hear that, God. God, you want me to be in church every Sunday? You know, it's all right to go do this on Sundays and go fishing at the lake and go hunting and go play golf on Sunday. You know what? You know, God, do you really want me to be in church on Sunday? You don't have to listen to that. You know. You know, it's not only important that we listen to God or hear from God. It's important that you listen and do what he says. Listen to what he says. Because, you know, if we don't listen, that's our fault. But if we listen and don't do what God says, that's disobedience. That's rebellion against God. Remember Saul? You know, the people wanted a king. Well, it wasn't God's idea to have a king. God didn't really believe in kings. But the people wanted a king. You know, sometimes we want something so bad, God will let you have it, even though it's not good for you. I mean, if they knew the consequences of having a king, they wouldn't have wanted a king. They kept saying, we want a king. God, let's have a king. Okay, you can have a king. It's kind of like a kid. Can I have a new car? Can I have this? Can I have this toy? Can I have this? You just finally just give up and throw in. Yeah, you can have it. It's not what I wanted for, but you can have it if you want it. So let him have a king. And God through the prophet Samuel told Saul what to do. He said, I want you to wipe out all the Amalekites, all their animals, all their everything. And so they had a big battle and killed everything except the king and a few prized animals. And said that Saul, that day, he lost his kingship. He missed his destiny. Why? Because he disobeyed the voice of God. Samuel said, How come you didn't say what God said to do? Why didn't you do what God said to do? He said, well, the people said. The people said. See, so many times we want to hear from God, but we care what everybody else says. And they had Saul's life from that point went downhill. Amen? So it's important we do what God says. We can position ourselves to hear the voice of God. Amen? The best book I ever wrote, in fact, the only book I ever wrote, is called Position for Purpose. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. I mean, it tells you how to get in position about everything. There's a chapter about getting in position to hear from God. Did you know that you can get in position to hear God's voice? I mean, God can speak to you anywhere, anytime, anyhow, but it's so much easier when we get in the right position. You know, one thing that I find is helpful for me, I'm a type A personality. I am wired 24/7. I think even my sleep I'm wired. Amen? She said, yeah, amen. And so it's hard to me to get still. It's hard for my mind to get quiet. Luann's not like it. She gets up and she goes into her prayer rooms and prays for about an hour and reads the Bible. I'm not like that. But there's times, you know, when I'm really seeking God. Let me help you out here. Did you know that when you're really seeking God's voice, God really desires to hear, to respond to you? And so when I'm really seeking God about something, sometimes I have to get in isolation. I've got to get in a place. I usually get my pickup. God talks to me a lot in my pickup. I got 6.5 hours between here and El Paso. I'm going tomorrow. And I can turn my radio on, I can turn my radio off. But the hardest thing I have to turn off is my mind, because my mind wanders. I can speak, I say, God, I really need your direction in this. And if I'm not careful, I watch my mind is thinking about cattle. It's thinking about this, thinking about that. So I got to really isolate myself. You know, even Jesus had to isolate himself. He got by himself many, many times when it's very important to hear what God was saying. So, you know, get into his presence by isolation. You can't do it and watch at the same time, be on the treadmill at the same time. You got to get somewhere quiet and listen to God. Because God doesn't always speak in that loud voice, but sometimes that still, quiet voice that God speaks to you. Second thing is, you know, you want to hear God's voice? Meditate in the Word. Why? Because it's God's voice. I don't have any times when I'm praying about God's direction, I'll begin to read the Word. And I don't do this this Bible roulette and just begin to flip through the pages, close my eyes and say, God speak to him, put a finger on the scripture and say, well, that's what God said. I might say, go kill your neighbor. No, it wouldn't. But God will speak to you. You know, I'll be in prayer and I'll hear God bring a scripture to mind. And I'll go to that scripture and I'll begin to meditate on it and read it. That's why it's so important that you get grounded in the Word. Because the more knowledge of you have of the Word, the deeper your intimacy with God be, because you can't separate God from his Word. This old deal about I never read my Bible, you're going to have a hard time hearing from God. You're going to have a hard time making right decisions. You say, well, I don't like to read my Bible. Well, sometimes, honestly, I don't like to read mine too. But I read it. I meditate on it. Because God will speak to you. You know, sometimes, you know, it seems like more often in my life, maybe you're not like this. Miss Lou Ann, she calls God up and God answers immediately, speaks to her. Sometimes it's days before I get God's response. I don't think it's God trying to stall me. I think it's my business in my mind that I'm not hearing the voice of God. But sometimes, you know, God, there's a delay because God's going to bring somebody in your life to speak a word into you. You're going to be in church and God's going to speak to you. You're going to be meditating on the Word and God's going to speak to you. But here's so often in my life, God speaks to me when I'm sleeping. Did you know that when you're asleep, God can communicate with you because your mind never goes to sleep? Your subconscious is. And I'll be praying about something, and I'll wake up, and God gave me the answer. A lot of times I'll wake up in the morning, and I'll have the answer. Because it says in Psalms that God counsels during our night seasons. Even when you're sleeping, God is speaking if you'll just listen to him. You know, try this. Before you go to bed, say, God, speak to me tonight. Let me hear your voice tonight. Don't be afraid to get up when you feel like a stirring deal, because it may be God trying to send you to South Africa. Amen? All righty. Oh, the voice of God will never contradict his will. Never contradict his will. You know, the first time I heard someone talking about, we weren't married yet, but I was going to a Baptist church in Austin, Texas there, and we had this old tall redheaded preacher from Kentucky. I mean, he was hillbilly as they could be, but great preacher. I mean, fiery, fiery man of God, about 6'4", and named Bill Stafford. And, you know, I was far enough along with the Lord I knew how to pray, but I didn't really know how to talk to God. He's talking about how, you know, the Holy Spirit's right inside you. He had on a suit, you know, and he said, the Holy Spirit shall inside you. He desires to talk to you. So he'd go like this. He said, oh, Holy Spirit, would you like a cigarette? Okay, I'm not going to smoke a cigarette. Holy Spirit, would you like a beer? No, I don't think I'll drink a beer. Holy Spirit, you want to go to this R-rated movie? No. He said, if you'll just ask him things, he knows all things. He knows all things. But he's not going to contradict his will. You know, I know the Bible says this. In fact, Jesus said, you know, he desires to give us desires of our heart. God wants to give you those desires. But you know, all desires are not God's desires. You know, every scripture's got a balance to it. John 15 says that he'll give you your desires. Mark 11:24 says he'll give you desires. But 1 John 5:14 says that we have this confidence in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. And if he hears us, he will give us those things we ask of. So, you know, we can ask God's desires to give us something, but it's not God's desire. Let me give you a little deal here. Several years ago, there's this guy we know lives in another town, goes to another church. We know him for a long time. Single guy. He was in our church. He comes in here, and he was staying in our house, and he sees this pretty young girl in our church, and she's a member of our church also. And we got home, and he was so excited. He said, Pastor Ty, Pastor Lynn, God told me I'm going to marry her. I'm going to marry her. And I said, well, you know, do you ever think about this? You know, maybe it's not God's will. Oh, no, I heard God say, she's the one. She's the one. And I said, well, I think, you know, if God said that to you, he would have said to her, and I hadn't heard her say anything yet. Well, never happened. He's still single. She's married, but not to him. So sometimes, you know, we try to make God fit into our desires, but he's not going to go against his will. You know, God's not going to tell you, oh, stop going to church. Had a guy one time, oh, he never would come to church on Sunday morning, but I had a group, and he would come to that group on different things. And, in fact, when we first started church, and I said, how come you don't go to church on Sunday mornings? He said, well, God told me I don't want you going to any church because I want to teach you myself. I said, that spells trouble. That's not right. You're going to hear the wrong voice. I said, we're to be committed to a house. We're to be faithful to a house. God has a purpose for you being in church. But I could never convince him because he had this thought that he heard from God. I heard people say, well, you know, Pastor Ty, you know, God told me not to tithe, that I could just work, you know, work and serve in the church, and that's part of my tithe. You know, people say that they never do work in church anyways. But working in church is not, you know, doing volunteer work. That's not a tithe. That's not your first fruit. But I hear, well, Pastor Ty, God told me not to start tithing until I got out of debt. Stupid. You hearing the burrito you ate last night? That's not God's voice. You know, I've even had people say this. Louie has too. Well, I feel like God's saying for me to leave my spouse. Now, if God hates divorce, why would he tell you to leave your spouse? I know there's grounds for divorce. I'm a divorcee. I mean, there's people in this church that's divorcee. God loves divorcees. But, I mean, if you're in a godly marriage and you're not, you know, we may tell you, if you're a woman, you're getting beat up by your husband, we may tell you to get out of the house. But we're not going to tell you to get a divorce. But we have people all the time say, you know, I just feel like God, you know, God has somebody better for me. God's telling me to leave your wife, leave your husband. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Logic, most often, is not God's voice. But obedience to God's voice always rewards greatly. See, things, you know, when God speaks to you, they're not always logical. You know, sometimes we discount, you know, well, I feel like God told me to give $10,000. That's not logic. We hear it and we just discount because it don't seem logical. Don't sound like common sense. Well, what about the widow in 1 Kings 17? It says that God commanded. Now, how do you command something? By your voice. Luke says this, there were many widows that day, but there was just one that listened to the voice of God. God commanded this widow to provide for Elijah. Can you imagine the emotion she had when she heard the voice of God? Man, that can't be God, because God, if you really knew what I have in our household, feed me my boy, you wouldn't ask me to do something. That's not logical, God. You know, if she hadn't listened to the voice of God, I'd be she'd been dead in a week. And it said that, it didn't say when she died, but it says she lived 3.5 years there with plenty in her house. And then when her son did die, Elijah raised him up from the dead. Come on. It didn't seem logical. It didn't seem logical when Jesus said he's been there for 4 days now, but he's coming out. Sometimes it don't seem logical to pray for somebody that's died. Sometimes it don't seem logical to go to a hospital and pray for somebody that's dying. We hear a bad report. Well, there's no way they can survive. And so God says, go pray for them. You say, well, that doesn't make sense, God, because the doctor's already said. See, the voice of God don't always contain logic. 1984, spring of the year, we sold some cattle coming off wheat. We kept hearing the voice of God. I want to say, mistake about here, not obeying the voice of God. I heard God in February said, sell your cattle today. Heard it. I said, my logic says the market's going up. I knew all the facts. It was. It should have went up. But something happened. I didn't see that. If I'd listened to God, God would have told me something's going to happen. In April that or March that year, the government came out with dairy milk got too cheap. The dairymen have a strong lobbyist group. Cattlemen don't. Dairyman said, we gotta have some help from the government. So here's what they did. They said, well, listen, you kill all your dairy cows, and we'll pay you a premium for your dairy cows, the government will. If they bring 50 cents a pound on the market, we'll pay you another 50 cents a pound from the government. So, I mean, they slaughtered dairy cows by the thousands and tens of thousands. And all of a sudden, we had so much meat on the market. Guess what happened to the beef market, beef cattle market? I mean, every day, limit down, limit down, limit down. And I remember God said, you should have sold. And I said, God, help me stop the market, turn it around, do something. It never turned around. Never turned around. I said, God, I'm tired and I'm giving. I'm doing everything right. God said, you should have listened to me. Ironically, my daughters, three daughters, we had a little partnership on cattle. They had about 200 steers out. I sold them at the top of the market. They made a lot of money. Mine lost $64,000, 64 grand. And I said, God, but God is so good. I shipped those cattle that day in May. We was headed to Austin for vacation. Way home, God said, I want you to bless somebody back. We had a couple that worked for us there. They got everything, some stuff stolen from them, lost their money. They was trying to get back. They were from Kenya. They'd been in school. They worked for us, or wife worked for Lou Ann in the house. God said, I want you to restore everything that's been taken from them. Got back and said, how much y'all lose? $2,000. I said, God, you want me to give $2,000? I just lost $64,000. Didn't you see that, God? And God said, do you want that $64,000 replaced? I said, yes, sir. I said, where's my checkbook? See, sometimes I'm a slow listener. We gave him that check in May, had peace about it. That October, we sold cattle off the ranch that made $64,000 near to the penny. We had cattle in the feedlot that made a bunch of money. Amen? But then we had the best year. I think it's the first year we busted $300,000 in the cattle business because we listened and obeyed the voice of God. See, it wasn't logical, but we know we heard from God. Finally, say thank God finally. Isn't that the best word you heard all day? Hearing the voice of God always requires a step of faith on your part. You know, I've never heard God's voice didn't take a step of faith. I had to preach that word that night when there was a deaf girl in her house. Had to go talk to Dub. I had to make a phone call to Africa. Had to buy a plane ticket to Africa. Takes response. We all know the story about Peter, and I'll close with this one. Remember Peter and his buddies, the disciples, were all in the boat. And a storm came up, and Jesus wasn't in the boat with him. And they looked up there, and they thought they were going to die. And they looked up and saw Jesus walking on the waves. That's not logical, is it? I wonder why he's walking on the waves. He could have been in a boat with him, but God had a plan. And Peter says, they thought it was a ghost at first. Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come, and I'll come. He says, Peter, come. He says, Peter stepped out of the boat, and he walked on the water. Walked on the water. Well, most people think the other side, like the glass is half full or half empty. They saw the half empty glass. Yeah, he did go down. But guess what? Jesus reached out and grabbed him. He carried him on the water then. Come on. See? You're going to hear the voice of God. He's going to tell you something. There's some times I heard the voice of God and God said, I want you to give this. We'd be in a meeting somewhere. I want you to give this. I thought, that's not logical. We gave. God blessed more than we even think. See, God responds to your faith. He responds to your obedience to his voice. So what is God telling you? Amen? You know, I'd love to just continue this series. I may start back up a little later on sometime, but next Sunday is Easter Sunday, so it's so vital that you hear God's voice, especially in the times that we're in. It's so vital that we obey God's voice because there's protection, there's blessings, there's good stuff of God in obedience to the voice of God. It's the devil. It's always the devil's trying to stop your ears up. First thing he told Eve was, did God really say that? Did God really say that? So you got to recognize the voice of God. And that's by getting that word, getting to know God. Man, I love teaching on hearing the voice of God. There's nothing more vital to me. I feel so isolated when I feel like I'm not hearing God's voice. It is so vital that you listen to it, that you hear. Amen. Well, let me say one more thing. I'm going to give you a word. You can respond to that word. Have you ever been born again? Have you ever had that God encounter where God changed your life? The question is, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ today for the very first time? Revelation 2 says this, Jesus said, I knock at the door, and if anyone hears my voice, didn't say, did you hear the knock? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. See, you need God living on inside you because he's your GPS for life. You know what I call a GPS? Not the one in my car or pickup. There's a God GPS. It's called God's positioning system. See, God wants to get you in a position with him so he can bless you, protect you. So if you're here today and you've heard the knock, but you've never opened the door, didn't say you hadn't been in church, but you've never opened that door and invited him in, So you'll know if he's inside, because you'll know that something changed. There's no doubt when I got saved, because I knew there's a change inside. No doubt. I couldn't, you couldn't talk me out. I know something supernaturally happened to me. And God wants to do that to you today. But he's knocking. If you heard his voice, just obey it. Just open the door and say, all right, Jesus, come inside. Live inside me. Amen. I'm going to pray a prayer and just ask you to pray along with me, whether you're saved or not saved. Just pray with me. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I heard your voice this morning, and I'll respond to it. And Father, I realize that if I died, I don't really know where I'd go. And Lord, I'll be honest with you again. On the inside, I feel empty. And God, I've tried to change, but I can't change. It's going to take a miracle in my life to change me. So, Father, forgive me my sins. I open the door to you. Come and live inside me. In Jesus' name, amen.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.